So I think I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then I will read the scriptures, and then we'll proceed from there. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for today. We praise you for bringing us together, and Lord, thank you for each one of us. And as we gather now to listen to your voice, Father, we pray that you may speak to the hearts of each one of us, oh Lord. We pray that your word is going to come to us powerfully, and Lord, that your word is also going to transform us and change us, change our way of thinking, the way we live, and even the way we do our ministry, and the way we relate with other people, our neighbors, our children, our colleagues at work. So Lord, help us that your word is going to impact every aspect of our lives. So may your spirit now speak to all of us through me, and may I be a channel of blessing to all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read the scripture reading, and scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 50. That's the last chapter of the book of Genesis. And apparently, when I sent the text, the passage of that I was going to be preaching from, after receiving an invitation from Pastor Norman, I sent him the text, and he sent me back a message and said, "Wow, look at that! If it was not this Sunday, he was going to preach from this passage, it was going to be next Sunday." So that was almost an affirmation. So. Genesis chapter 50, and we'll read verses 15 to verse 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left this instruction before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servant of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the savings of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Today I want to speak on the subject of dealing with catastrophe. Dealing with catastrophe. We live in this side of the world, or the side of history of the world, what we would call the post-fall world, the world after the fall. And because of that, We are encountered with all kinds of problems and difficulties and catastrophes, adversities of life. And as you think about it as a Christian, and even as in my young days as a Christian, I would wonder, when God saves us, why is it that he would not take us Christians and put us in an island of our own? You know, so that we don't have to go through all the sufferings that there is in the world. You almost think that way, but that is not the case. God does not do that in his wisdom. He has chosen that we, Christians, will continue to live in this fallen world until Jesus Christ returns, and then everything is transformed and we live in a different world at that time. But at this point, we are living in this world, and we will face every kind of suffering, just like even the non-believing world. You look around, and sometimes you wonder whether Christians don't even sometimes seem to suffer more than non-Christians do, don't we? In the life of as a Christian, as even as a pastor, as a teacher in theological schools, one of the questions that has always become a very difficult question to deal with, especially as it comes from those who are skeptical about Christianity, is the whole idea of suffering. I have sat with it with people, whether that be in the airplane or just in the streets talking to people, and the number one question that people raise is the whole idea of suffering. They say, if, you know, with all this suffering in the world, and you tell me there is a God, I don't believe it. I don't believe it for a minute. But for us Christians, we know. And it can be, some of us Christians may be tending toward that kind of skepticism about, if God were so loving and caring and good, why should there be all this suffering in the world? And it becomes even more personal when the suffering comes to you. You are dealing with an illness. You are dealing with difficult family situations. You are dealing with broken relationships. Maybe you are dealing with the pain of divorce. And all these kinds of situations are going on in your life. Or you are dealing with a loss. Just about 2 months ago, back home, and those of you who don't know, at least you can tell now from my accent, I am from Kenya. And just about 2 months ago, we lost my wife's niece, who was only 22 years old. And she was just, you know, the prime of our life. She was just about to graduate from the university, and she was heading to the university to get her pay some dues that she needed to pay, so that on that Monday, the following week Monday, she was going to go for a graduation ceremony. It's a big thing in Africa. Education is a big thing because that's how you succeed in life, economically speaking. But on her way to Nairobi, to where the school was, there was a serious accident on the road. And all 9 people passed away, died instantly. Only she survived. But then stayed only for a week in the ICU, and she passed away. And it was difficult for my wife and I dealing with this, for them, this young mother dealing with this. And she's a Christian, we are Christians. My father-in-law is a minister, he's been a minister for years. And all these questions begin to come to your mind. The big question, why? Why should this happen? Now, there's a lady by the name Anne Lutz. Anne Lutz is the daughter of evangelist Billy Graham. And she captures this mystery that we struggle with in her book entitled, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? And that's is a tough question to deal with. The question of why, and let me say this right at the outset. We do not know the answer. We Christians, we cannot answer that question, why, satisfactorily. We don't have that answer in the Bible. In fact, in a way, God does not answer us that question, because if we were to sit down with him and every time something bad happens to me, hey, God, why? And then he answers me. You know what that does? It kind of reduces God to my level, to a human level. And Job understood that very well. You know, when he asks God, what does God do to him? He asks him back very tough questions. Were you there when I created all these animals in the world? There is another quotation from Evelyn Underhill. Some of you are familiar with some of the things she has said. And she says this: if God were small enough to be understood, he would not be big enough to be worshipped. And I like that. I like that. You know, there is something of a mystery about our God. He is not small enough to be understood completely. And therefore, that element of mystery about our God draws us to our knees to worship this God who is not completely understood. The book of Isaiah, the prophet says, that my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. Now, here is your message today, and let me say this again at the outset, that I hope this is not going to be a very hard message. It's not. Sometimes I prefer, especially when I'm doing counseling, not to talk about some of the things that I'm talking about today because they may be a little hard. But in a general sense like this, where it's a church service, I think this is a good time to hear these things so that we can be equipped when those situations come our way. And so if one is struggling right now with a situation, it may be a little difficult of a message today. But here is the message that, in summary, that I would like you to go away from here with. So in order to deal with catastrophe in your life, you must look at them from God's perspective, from the perspective of God. And here is God's perspective. For every catastrophe that happens to us, and please listen to this, for every catastrophe that happens to us, God turns it into a blessing for his children. For every catastrophe, now I know that is difficult to even to begin to understand, but for every catastrophe that happens to us, somehow in his own wisdom, in his own ways, he turns it out to be a blessing to his own, for his own children. And I'm going to be unpacking that in my message today. Now, the first scripture that I want to read for you is Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, which is a very familiar verse. But it's also good, a very good scripture for us to understand really what God is telling us in this scripture. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." According to his purpose. And we know that in all things. That is inclusive of either good things or bad things. In all things. It says, in all things, we know that in all things, God works for the good. And that's a blessing we are talking about. In other words, God will take everything that happens to us, whether it's good or bad, he takes it and he turns it out to be a blessing. He turns it to be a blessing. And what I'm going to do, let me unpack that a little more, and then I'll give you some several examples. So when you look at something bad that happened, like the case that I just told you about our niece, so you ask yourself, what is good about this? And there is no immediate answer to that. And so we understand this. What I'm saying here when I say God takes that thing, whatever happens, he takes it and turns it to a blessing for those who love him. We need to understand it in two perspectives. First of all, we understand it from a short term, but also long term. When you look at it short term, really there is nothing good about it. You don't see anything good about those kinds of things when they happen. But then maybe long term, there is something that God is doing that we may not even be aware of. But because we are called according to his purposes, we know that God is never defeated and we are his children. He loves us. And there is something good he is doing about this. And therefore, we just depend on the goodness of God and we say, you know what? I don't understand this. I don't know what you are doing, but you know what? I trust you. I entrust myself into your goodness. And I'm not going to allow the devil to fight me on this, to win on this battle. I am going to look unto God. In fact, I am of the kind of a person who tries as much as possible not to look at the devil. Whatever happens, I look at God. I try. I pray, God, help me to look unto you rather than facing the devil. I have no power to face the devil, but Jesus Christ can face the devil on my behalf. And so I look unto God. I don't understand what's going on. But God, I know you are into something. You are going to turn this thing into a blessing to me somehow. Now, let me give you an example. And that is now back to the passage that we read. An example from the Old Testament is that of Joseph. And back to the passage that we read. Now, in this case here, we know that Joseph faced so many bad things that happened to him. Joseph was hated by his brothers. Joseph was thrown into a cistern, into a deep well by his brother. And in fact, they wanted him to die right there. Joseph was sold by his own brothers into slavery in Egypt. And while in Egypt as a slave, in Potiphar's wife decided to accuse him falsely. And that accusation leads to what? Joseph is thrown into prison for no crime committed. Wow. And you look at that, put yourself in the shoes of Joseph and wonder, what's going on, God? It's almost like, God, what's going on? And if you are like me, if you have read the story of Joseph, and I know you are going through the series of messages on Joseph, you never see Joseph complaining at all. And finally, Joseph is in prison. And then God takes him from there, and he becomes the prime minister of Egypt in a miraculous way. And so that brings us to this point where his brothers have come back to Egypt, and now their father has died, and they are now fearing, they are wondering, oh, what's going to become of us? Joseph may decide to take revenge upon us, and we are going to be dead, and, you know, they are all filled with fear. And let me throw this to you. These brothers of Joseph have a human perspective of catastrophe. And when you have a human perspective of a catastrophe, you know what happens? You're going to be filled with fear and anxiety and all kinds of negative things. But how does Joseph respond? Look at, I don't know if you have your Bibles open, but verse 18, I like these verses, verse 18 down. Verse 19, but Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So Joseph looks at his situation of catastrophe from God's perspective. And he understands that God is doing something good. He is blessing the lives of the Israelites. By the way, some people will look at this and say, oh, actually I saw a book written by the title, From Prison to Prime Minister. And that is exactly what happened to Joseph. He was a prisoner, and from prison he becomes a prime minister. Now, when you look at it here, and Joseph says, God intended it for good, and you begin to think the good that happened to Joseph, or the good that Joseph is talking about here, is his promotion from prison to prime minister. And the answer is no, that's not what Joseph is talking about. In fact, he answers it right here. He says, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. In other words, the saving of the children of Israel. God brought Joseph to Egypt in all those ways in order that he may save the lives of the children of Israel. Bring them to the land of Egypt so that he can preserve their lives. God takes our catastrophe and he turns it into a blessing. Now, that blessing may not necessarily be my blessing. It can be a blessing for the people of God. That is an example from Joseph. Let me give you another example. And now it's an example from our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered why we call it Good Friday? Have you thought seriously about what happened on that day? And yet we call it Good Friday. A day of serious, very serious atrocities on the Son of God. The hatred, the spitting on him, piercing on his side, and false accusation, and all these things. And yet today, we call it what? Good Friday. God taking something so negative, so bad, a catastrophe, and turning it into something so good. Good Friday. So the world. Why? Because God can take that which is negative and turn it to something so good. The reason we have good news today is because of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, let me give you also another example from some people who have gone before us. And it's always good to, when you are reading the Bible, to think through all these things and see how God is dealing with other people, not just your life, but how did God deal with other people in the Bible, in the history of the church. There is a man by the name Dietrich Bonhoeffer, was a German minister, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, or Bonhoeffer. When it became very clear to him that he was going to be executed by the Nazi regime, he says these words. And by the way, death is apparent. He can see it. He knows the next minute I will be dead. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this: "This is the end, but for me is the beginning of life. This is the end, but for me is the beginning of life." God taking that which is a catastrophe and turning it into a blessing. It actually reminds me of Stephen, who is being stoned, about to be stoned to death, and he looks at up in heaven and he sees Jesus Christ and the glory of God, Jesus seated on the right hand of God. And wow, at that moment, God again turns that which is a catastrophe and he brings a sense of hope to Stephen. The final example that I want to give you is one that maybe some of you are familiar with, Lisa Beamer. She is the wife of Todd Beamer. And you know, Todd Beamer is one of those heroes who died in the plane used by the terrorist attack of the World Trade Center. Now, Lisa has been interviewed by so many people, and here is one of the things she says following an interview that she took. And she says this: "God knows the terrible choices the terrorists would make, and that Todd Beamer, her husband, would die as a result. God knew my children would be left without a father and me without a husband. Yet in his sovereignty and in his perspective on the bigger picture, he knew it was better to allow the events to unfold as they did rather than redirect Todd's plans to avoid death. I can see all the reasons he might have allowed this when I know he could have stopped it. I don't like how his plan looks from my perspective right now. But knowing that he loves and can see the world from start to finish helps me to say it's okay." And that's very encouraging. It helps me to say, because God can see the bigger picture, it helps me to say, she says, it helps me to say it's okay. And finally, let me give you this last story. There's this grandmother who was needle-pointing canvas for a birthday gift for his granddaughter. And as she's needle-pointing, the granddaughter sits, you know, the mother was sitting at a place that was a little elevated, and the granddaughter is sitting down there, and she's looking from the bottom. And all she's seeing is a mess, and she says to the mother, "Oh, I don't like it." And she was just so disgusted about it. I mean, I don't like it, Grandma. And then Grandma just looks at her and smiles and continues. And then when she was done, she turns it around And then the granddaughter sees what she was doing. And then what actually the granddaughter saw was the word. She was needle-pointing words, which says, Jesus loves you. And you see, that is exactly what happens to us. When we are going through a difficult situation, it's just a mess. It's a complete mess. But finally, either in this world or in the next world, when God opens our eyes, we will see how great his love for us is. And right now, it will continue to look like a mess. But may we rest assured that Jesus Christ loves us, regardless. God loves us. God continues to be good. Please don't listen to the voice of the devil. Our God continues to be good. Our God continues to be a loving Father who cares for you like nothing else. He cares for you as though you were an only child of God. So may God bless us. My wife and I are going to sing a song in response to this. And one of the phrases in the song is that it says, knowing you love me, knowing you love me.